89.3.
Oh, he's a wonder.
He's a wonder.
So cool.
And the gospel continues to grow.
Oh.
Praising the Lord.
Yes.
In Senla.
He's a wonder.
And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi. This is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father, for once again another opportunity. For all of us, Father, that's under the sound of my voice, can come past the gates of thanksgiving, past the course of praise, past the holy place, all the way behind the veil into the holies of holies. Into your very presence, my Father, literally into your very presence, without any sense of guilt or condemnation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Father, we take you up on that invitation, and we do just as you said. You said, come boldly to the throne of God's grace, that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So here we are, Father, boldly at your grace, at your throne. And that's where we come from, Father. We receive grace and mercy. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. Now, Lord, we humble ourselves under the ministry of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for what Jesus Christ has done for us. And, Father, we thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, my Father, that will lead and guide us into the reality of everything that you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Be it unto us according to your word. Holy Ghost, you can have your way on this broadcast today, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Well, I told you, every time I say it, I got to say it every time I come on here. I get excited every time I say, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. And you know what? The more I say that, and listen, the more it becomes real to me. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So every time I say, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, boy, faith is coming. Wow. Faith is coming in what? In that word. Mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. And you know what? That's the word of God. The Bible says in Psalms, I think it's Psalms 82, it says, hey, those who stand in the congregation of the mighty, hallelujah, and he judges amongst the God. Or he said another place in that same chapter, for ye are little g God. What is that God standing in the congregation of the mighty? That's us. That's his children. Hallelujah. And he has called us little God, little G, not God, little G God, little offspring of the Most High God, little children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. That's what he called us. So when I say, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, that ain't no cliche. I'm just calling you what God called you. Hallelujah. God called us mighty men of the Most High God, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. He said that. And I'm just, boy, hallelujah, smart enough, boy, to say what he said. And listen, let me tell you something. If you say what he said, even if it's not that way in the natural, if you say what he said, let me tell you something. Continue to say what he said, and don't let what he said depart out of your mouth, but meditate in what he said day and night. Hey, listen, you're going to make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. Why? Because in meditating in that, in day and night, and God putting it in your mouth and meditating in it day and night, you learn how to observe, how to do what it says. And there is the blessing, not in the hearers of the word, but the doers of the word. Once we apply that word to our lives. So when I say, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, faith comes by hearing. And then when you hear, then the next step is to apply that. And when you apply that to your everyday living, guess what's taking place? You're becoming who God say you are. Hallelujah. You're becoming. Hallelujah. Every day, every time you say God's word, you're planting the seed of God's word into your life. And as you continue to plant the seed and water the seed, how you water it? By continually saying it. Hallelujah. Once you say it, you plant it in your heart. Now what you got to do, you got to water and cultivate it. And as you water and cultivate it, how you water and cultivate it? You got to keep on saying it. You got to keep on saying it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It don't just mean just hear one time. It means hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. What? How long, Arthur? Forever. Because it's the word of God, and it's going to abide forever. So as you continue to say that and get that in your heart and continue saying it, you plant it, you water it, you cultivate it, and guess what's going to happen in due season? What? You're going to reap if you don't cave in and give up and quit. You're going to reap if you faint not. Hallelujah. For why? God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he also reap. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's a principle. That's a law in the kingdom of God. The law of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. You're going to have what you say. Let me say it even to bring it home closer. You are having what you're saying, even right now. I don't feel too good. That's why you don't feel too good. Hallelujah. That's what you say. Any kind of little symptom come up on us and everything else, then we line up our words with the circumstance, situation, and symptoms. And guess what happens? Hey, brother, you get what you say. So a little symptom come, and you say, hey, I don't feel good. Hey, guess what? Well, you plant that seed, and guess what's going to take place? You ain't going to feel too good. Why? But that's what you say. And be not deceived. God not mocked. Whatsoever man say, then shall he reap. So what we got to do is learn how to function in the kingdom of God and the functioning principles of the kingdom of God and how to operate in the kingdom of God. A lot of us are in the kingdom of God, but it's not enough just to be in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I give you keys to the kingdom. Hallelujah. That's a functioning principle by which this kingdom operates and functions by, you know. That's some laws. And if you don't function according to those laws and principles, then, hey, shit. You're going to be wandering around in the kingdom. Day after day, just wandering around in circles. Hallelujah. Trying to do what? We're trying to obtain what God has for your life. But all the time, all we have to do is just come on into the kingdom, because the way it has been made, and then we'll learn the functioning principles of this kingdom, how to operate in this kingdom. Hallelujah. Guess what's going to happen, boy? You're going to live a successful life. Well, in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, here on earth. Glory to God. That's God's greatest desire for your life. Is that for you to go to heaven and spend eternity with him? His greatest desire for your life is for you to him to bring heaven to you. Hallelujah. And you come and experience heaven, and he come and live with you. He ain't interested in you coming and live with him. He want to come and dwell with you. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says in the book of Revelation. They say, well, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down, and the dwelling place of God was with the sons of man. Where we are, he came down back from heaven down to earth. And it said this, and the dwelling place of God was with the children of men. So God was dwelling with us, well, in heaven, but not in heaven in his territory, in heaven on earth. The way he was doing in Genesis chapter 1. Man, he placed Adam on the earth, and he placed Eve on the earth, and he was dwelling with them on the earth, glory to God. Hallelujah. How was he dwelling with them, man? By the power of the Holy Ghost, boy. When he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and guess what took place, boy? I'm talking about God breathing into that body a little spirit that's created in the image and likeness of God. That's that mighty man and mighty woman that you are, that spirit being. The part of you that's created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. And then he placed on the inside of our spirit being the Holy Spirit. That's him. So he placed himself on the inside of us, the spirit of man. When he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became that living soul, that was God putting into this physical body that he formed from the dust of the ground. Your spirit, that's you, the real you. And the Holy Spirit that's living in your spirit, what that is, that's the connection of God. That's the connection between you and God. And that's the connection between heaven and earth. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's God in you. Hallelujah. What that is, that's God in you. God in me. God in us. Not among us, not around us. It's a good thing for him to be among us and around us, But I'm talking about something even better than that. What's that? That's Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. That's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 or 27, somewhere up in there. What it is, Christ in you, that anointed one in you, that Holy Ghost power on the inside of you, that same spirit, man, that raised Jesus from the dead and set him at the right hand of the Father, living on the inside of you and I. Can you imagine that? Holy Ghost power living on the inside of you and I. But if you don't know that, and if you don't know the purpose for that, and if you ain't in on what God is doing, then you'll bypass all that, man, just live, man, mediocre Christian lives, man. You're just wandering around in the wilderness, saved, but hadn't entered into the promised land. Just like the children of Israel were doing. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. They were saved. Hallelujah. But they didn't go into the promised land. Moses didn't even go into the promised land with them. And that was a type of shadow. In that old covenant, in that Old Testament, and that story about the children of Israel being down in Egypt and Moses delivered them all up. All those in the Old Testament with scripture is types and shadows of things that were to come. That's the same thing that Jesus Christ did, same thing that Moses did. Jesus Christ went and told the devil, hey, listen, God, this thus said the Lord, let my people go. Who are you talking to? He ain't talking to Pharaoh. Jesus talking to the devil himself. And Pharaoh was a type of the devil. Who was Pharaoh's army? That's all, man. That's just like the devil and all his demon cohorts. That's his army. All that one third of the angels that fell down from heaven with him, that's his army. Who is the devil? Hallelujah. And who is his army? That's Pharaoh and his army. Who is God's leader? That's Jesus Christ and his army. Who is his army? He got two thirds of the angels with him. That's why the Bible says, man, when you get a model enemy surrounding you, don't fear not. Why? Because it'd be more with us and for us than it'd be against us. The devil just took one third of the angels with him. Boy, that left two thirds. So it'd be more for us than it'd be against us. So we ain't got to worry about nothing. You remember the story in the Bible where Elijah was sitting in his chair, boy, and I'm talking about his predecessor, Elisha, looked out the window and saw a great host of army that had surrounded them. And he went and told Elijah, and Elijah was just sitting down in his rocket chair, wouldn't worry about it, just kept on rocking. And boy, Elisha came to him two or three times and said, hey, listen, man, that army around us, man, you ain't panicking or nothing. And boy, Elijah told God, Lord, open up his eyes. And when boy, Elisha went and looked again, he saw a great multitude of army that was surrounding the army that was against them. Shoot, boy, Elisha didn't grab him a rocket chair and sit down and took it easy too. Why? Because great is he that's in us. And he that's for us, and he that's in the world. It don't matter, man, what might come up against you. It don't matter, man, what army, what mountain, what negative circumstance, situation, or something that might confront us, boy. We got Holy Ghost power on inside of us. Boy, I'm talking about that'll blow up cancer, that'll blow up heartache, that'll blow up pain, that'll blow up sin in our life, that'll blow up everything in our life that's contrary to the perfect will of God for our life. All the sins that so easily besets us and everything else, that Holy Ghost power that's on the inside of us, boy, they call it dunamis, same where we get our word dynamite from. Well, I'm talking about this dynamite working power on the inside of every last one of us. What dynamite do? Blow up things. What the power on the inside of us do? To blow up, boy, all the works of the devil in our lives and in the lives of our circle of influence. Who is that out there enabling us to do all that? Boy, that's Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who that is again? Boy, that's the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. I'm going to say something right here, and I don't know how well it's going to go over, but still, it's the truth. It's the word of God. Hey, listen. We in a season now, man, where we celebrate, man, the birth of Jesus Christ. In a few days, they set aside the date, December the 25th, and we celebrate that as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we celebrate that. And we see a lot of things and a lot of saying, one of the most saying is this. Hey, listen, see, Jesus is the reason for the season. Hey, listen, you know, that sounds good and everything else, and that's a good thing. But in reality, if you know the scripture and the precepts of the scripture and the right concepts of the scripture, you'll come to realize something, what? That Jesus is not the reason for the season. He's the creator of the season. He brought the season back to us. But the true reason for this season is you and I. It's mankind. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sins. Jesus came to, man, redeem us from the curse of the law. Jesus Christ came, man, and washed us, man, even though our sins are like scarlet, washed us white as snow, man. Jesus Christ came, man, and healed every manner of sickness and disease. He came, man, destroying the works of the devil. On whose behalf? On our behalf, hallelujah. It was us that were dead in trespass and sin that he came to seek and save the lost. It was us that were sick, man, that he came to heal. It was us, man, that was down and out who he came, man, to bring up and over. It was us, man, under the beggarly elements of this world system and the bondage of slavery of Satan himself. Hallelujah. What he did, he come and delivered us from the powers of darkness. Who he was delivering us? Who he was doing all that for? Us. Who he came to this earth, man, to redeem and to set on course back to their destination, the God-given destination? That's us. You're the reason for the season. What season is this, boy? This is the season of the coming of the Lord, or the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he said, man, way back in Genesis chapter 3, Jesus announced, man, Christmas. Hallelujah. We don't know exactly what day it is. This December 25th is the day set aside for it. But we don't know exactly, man, in reality, what the true day of his birth, man. You know, we don't really know that. But that's really not the point. See, that's why I say we get preoccupied with the means at the expense of forth the means. We get preoccupied with when he was born. We get preoccupied with where he was born. We get preoccupied with how he was born, when he was born, where he was born, and forth, man, the most important thing was why he was born. Hallelujah. What was the purpose for his grace? What was the purpose for him coming here? What was the reason for his existence, man? And boy, we didn't debate on everything else, when he was born, what day he was born, all kind of controversy. Where he was born, man, you know, the place where he was born, all kind of controversy. They got three or four places in Israel over there. One say he was born here, another one say they were born over there, another one say he was born over there. So we don't know exactly where he was born. We don't know exactly what date he was born in. We don't know exactly how that really took place, the word of giving birth to a son. Hallelujah. And we discussed that. But, man, I don't ever hear discussing too much about why he was born, the purpose for him coming. And that's the most important part. So if you don't understand that, then you are miss at the use of his coming. You are abnormally use his coming. You are miss at the use for why he came to this earth. You know the ultimate reason why Jesus Christ came to this earth? The ultimate reason was to hook you. I'm like, everything that he did was a means to one end. Him saving us, him dying on the cross for us, him healing all us and everything, him blotting out the handwriting of all that was against us, man, because of what Adam's sin plunged all of us into, boy. His whole motive operandi for everything that he did was to get you clean so that the Holy Spirit can once again come and dwell on the inside of every last one of us. That's what we lost in Adam. We lost our sovereignty. That's complete rule. We lost our dominion. That's the right to dominate, to control, to manage, to do, to have power and authority over. We lost, man, our identity, our true identity, who we are. We lost our source, where we really come from. That's the most important thing we lost, why are we here? Hallelujah. The purpose for God creating us and putting us on his earth. Hallelujah. That's why. And then the next thing, boy, is what can we really do? What kind of potential that we have on the inside of us? Listen. Here's the potential that you have on the inside of you. The works that Jesus did, so can we. As he is, so are we. As the Father sent him, same way he sent us. Hallelujah. That's the potential that's on the inside of us. What? To be just like Jesus, who is the express image of the Father. Why? Because that's how God created us. What? In his image and in his likeness. And he said, and let them, who? Mankind. What? Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creeps upon the earth, and over the whole earth. Hallelujah. What he did, that's how God created us. In Genesis chapter 3, man, we lost that sovereignty and that dominion and that power and that control that he gave us over this territory called Earth. How often? Through Adam's disobedience. And not only did we lose, man, you know, death, but boy, the Holy Spirit can't come and dwell. He can't dwell in no unclean vessels. So when Adam and them, man, you know, disobeyed God, they became an unclean vessel. And the Holy Spirit left. And when the Holy Spirit left, that was like God leaving mankind, leaving out of the spirit of mankind, because he can't dwell in no unclean vessel. So now, man is without God, separated from God. And what happens if you separate a plant from the soil? It starts withering away and dying. Why? Because it's separated from its source. So what happened, man, when the Holy Spirit left us, we got separated from our source, the Most High God. And what was the connection between that source of God and man? That's the Holy Spirit. What's the connection between heaven and earth to get the things in heaven to the earth? How do you do that, dude? That's the connection of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit word, to manifest God's word, wherever God say, wherever he say it is, however he want it done, and where and when he want it done. Hallelujah. What the Holy Spirit do? He the one who bring manifestation to the word of God. Hallelujah. He the one that took the word that when God said in the beginning, let there be light, then the Holy Ghost went to work. Who is that? He's the creator. He's the contractor. He's the builder. He's the one that takes the word of God and bring it into existence. Who is that? Boy, that's the Holy Ghost. And this same Holy Ghost living on the inside of you and I. And everything that Jesus Christ did upon his earth, boy, was a means to that one end, boy, to get the Holy Spirit back on the inside of us. Why is that so important, Arthur? Because that's the connection. That's the only way you and I can fulfill our God-given purpose and destiny. It's not by power. It's not by might. The Bible says, but it's by my spirit, said the Lord. I told you the way the Father's doing everything, he's using the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Father? That's the source of the word. That's the source of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Son? That's Jesus Christ. Who is the Word? That's Jesus Christ. And what he is? He's the Word of God. What John say? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him, who? The Word was life. Hallelujah. What kind of life? Zoe life. Know what kind of life Zoe life is? The God kind of life. Life the way God lives, and life the way God intended for you and I to live. That's Zoe, the God kind of life. Can you imagine living like God lives? Functioning like God functions, talking like God talk, walking like God walk, living like God living, having the same attributes and characteristics and nature as Almighty God, the same functioning abilities of Almighty God, that's likeness. Living like God, hallelujah. Talking like it, walking like it, being like it. Why? Because that's how you were created. And you lost that in the Adam disobedience. Well, in Jesus Christ, obedience to God's will and everything else, that has been restored back to us. Hallelujah. Well, hey, that has been restored back to us, what? The Holy Ghost power. That third member of the Godhead. Let me tell you something. He's the most important person in the earth today. And when we celebrate Christmas, man, that's what we celebrate, man. Boy, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to restore, to cleanse you and I up from all our unrighteousness so that we can once again become a candidate for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on the inside of every last one of us. But that's all of the power of God living on the inside of every believer. But if you don't know that, and if you don't understand that, and if you don't know how to function in that and operate in that, then you're going to be just like the children of Israel. They were saved. They weren't in Egypt no more. And the Pharaoh and his army, which is a type of the devil and his angels, they were all drowning in the Dead Sea. So the devil and the angel ain't really your problem no more, boy. It's a lack of knowledge and a lack of heart. Not only when you get that knowledge, the lack of the application of that knowledge. Glory to God. That man caused mankind to die. That's what Bible say in Hosea. God say, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of what? Of what God is doing. And the way he's doing what he's doing. Hallelujah. We preoccupied with what we're doing. And what our churches are doing, and what our organization is doing, and what the world is doing, and what social media is doing, and what the politicians are doing, and with man, everything but everybody doing except man for what God is doing. Boy, if you seek what God is doing, hallelujah. The Bible calls that seeking first the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom of God is. What God is doing. God's rule and God's reign in the life of any believer, man. Wherever he is on the face of this earth, when, boy, they allow God to have power and control and influence in their lives. What is that? That's the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Boy, wherever God has power, control, and influence, if you allow God to have power, control, and influence in your life, then therein is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. What would be the results of us allowing God to mold us and to build us and to shape us and to create us in his image? Then boy, we'll begin to experience the kingdom of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Well, the kingdom of heaven on earth. They use synonyms in scripture, but they mean two different things. The kingdom of God is what God is doing. The kingdom of heaven is a literal, actual place. That's his domain. And everything that's partaken of in his domain, the atmosphere, the environment, everything that it consists of, the joy, the peace, the divine health, the divine prosperity, and all the spiritual blessings, all of them. Glory to God. That's in heavenly places. Boy, that's talking about that. Somebody say, what do you say? I say, boy, what a mighty God we serve. And the day that you and I living in, he pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. So that, boy, I'm talking about young men will have vision. The old men will dream dreams. The young men will have vision. And, boy, the handmaid will prophesy. It ain't just men, but he's pouring out his spirit upon man and woman. Hallelujah. Both species of man, the female man and the male man, hallelujah. He pouring out his spirit upon all of us, male and female, hallelujah. So that kind of, well, I don't even want to go there about what women came to. That was under the curse. You and I have been redeemed from the curse of the law, boy. And we've been restored back to mankind, God originally intended, not only for the male man, but for the female man, too. Our responsibility, man, was born to my boy to influence Adam to continue on in the things of God. Hallelujah. To be a helpmeet, to help out become everything that God said about him. Hallelujah. To rule and reign right along with him. He being a king, she being a queen. They both mean the same thing, rulers. For them to rule together as one, the Bible says. Hallelujah. When a man and a wife come together, boy, they become one flesh. Hallelujah. Not two different. One. One in the presence of God. One in the assignment that God assigned for their life. Well, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What I'm talking about, boy, manage this earth for God. How, boy? By allowing God to have power and control and influence in our lives. Thereby doing that, that will enable us, boy, to experience the kingdom of heaven in our lives where? Here on earth. Hallelujah. So those prayers that we've been praying all our lives, they begin to be answered. What? Our Father, that's source and sustainer. Which art in heaven, that's his location. Hallowed be thy name, that's giving him the praise and worship that he so richly deserves. And then after you do that, then you start making your request or your petition. And the first request and the first petition is, Father, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. Where? On earth. Hallelujah. How? Just like it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come where? On earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. You've been praying that all your life. Boy, that's your first request. But because of a lack of knowledge on how to appropriate that and what God is doing, then we have misconceptions of God's word because we don't understand and grasp the precepts. What's a precept? That's the original idea. What's the concept? That's a picture of that idea. That's an image of that idea that you have in your mind and in your thoughts and everything. That's a concept. But if your precept, if you don't understand the precepts of God, then the majority of the time your concepts are going to be misconceptions. See, most Christians have a picture idea. They can see themselves living in heaven, man, forever and ever and ever, sitting by the crystal rivers, man, eating golden grapes, boy. In God's presence, in God's territory, in living in heaven, forever and ever and ever. And that's the concept they have, a description experience. But that concept is wrong. That's a misconception. And the reason why it's a misconception, because the church don't get, man, don't understand God's, hallelujah, David said it this way, hey, listen, Lord, teach me your precepts so that I might have good understanding. But George said the church, even the religious church, and even the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they want to see God's hands. They want to see signs and wonders. They want to see men blind eyes open and deaf ears unstopping and the dead raised to life again. They want to see that in the natural. They want to see his handiwork. But David was a little bit more into it than that. David said, Lord, I want to know what's in your mind. The people want to know, boy, see what you do. I want a man to know what makes you function, man, the way you function. I want to know why you do what you do. I want to know the reason for it. I want to know your original idea, your original concept. I want to know, boy, what you think about me originally and what you did die for me originally. I want to know your mind. I want to know what's in your mind. The people, man, want to see your act. The Bible says Moses knew God, and the children of Israel saw his acts. Well, they saw God, man, open up the Red Sea. They saw, man, all them 10 plagues. They saw, boy, I'm talking about Pharaoh's army drowning in the Red Sea. They saw all of that. They saw the hand of God. They saw the move of God. Hallelujah. That's because, boy, Moses knew God's ways. God showed Moses his ways, and the children of Israel, he showed them his acts. So, boy, the church is, like I say, boy, any act that you see, man, that the church is operating in, is because somebody didn't have the mind of God, the heart of God. Like Moses did. Moses knew God. He didn't know of God and about God. I didn't say knew about God and knew of God and have theological degrees and all that and the knowledge of God. I ain't talking about knowing about him and knowing of him. I'm talking about knowing him. Glory to God. That we are known. That's what God wants most in all the part and most of all. He don't want us to just know about him. He don't want us to just know of him. He wants us to know him. I mean, know him. Know that you know, have a personal relationship with him. Just like you might have a relationship with a friend or a spouse or your children. You don't just know of them, you know them. Hallelujah. That's the kind of relationship that God wants to have with all of us. He wants for us to know him. That's what David been saying, Lord, show me your precepts. I want to know you. I want to know you, your love, man, how you function. I want to know you. That's what David said. And boy, David, man, listen. And nobody, God didn't say this about nobody in the Old Testament characters, man. This, no other character in the Old Testament did God say this, boy. He said, David, you're a man after my own heart. The children of Israel want to see my acts. They want me to feed them, man. You know, they want me to take care of them. They want me to supply a job for them. They want me to heal their bodies and everything else. And now I'm willing to do that, and I want to do that, but I got a way of doing that. I just can't do it no any kind of way, said the Lord. I got to do it according to my word so I don't violate my word. And if you want to know how I do things, then you got to know, man, me. Hallelujah. That's why I tell you on this radio broadcast, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, because God has given us an invitation, man, to come boldly to his throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. For what purpose? Well, we might know him. And not only know him, but the Bible says, know Jesus Christ who he sent. And not only to know the Father and to know Jesus Christ who he sent, but this most important, that we might know the power that's available to us in Christ Jesus. What power is that, boy? That mighty working power, boy, that enabled Jesus Christ to do everything he did upon the earth, to walk the way he walked on the earth, to talk the way he talked upon the earth, to live the way he lived upon the earth, to do the things like he did upon the earth. What enabled him to do that? You know the scripture the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do all these things that I do, preach the gospel of the kingdom, cast out devils, heal all manner of sickness and disease. Who's doing that, Jesus? The Holy Ghost living on the inside of me. He doing the work. Hallelujah. He's the one who manifested. I give him the word, boy, and he manifested. He didn't want to take the word that come out of my mouth and bring it into reality. That's why Jesus said, I'll be when the Spirit of truth comes, he shall lead and guide you into all truth. That word truth, though, he's going to lead you and guide you into the reality of what I see that you can do. What I see is who you are. What I see, man, about why you're here. What I see, man, about where you're going to end up here. Well, all the things I said about the potential that you have on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost is going to take that, what I told you, and bring it into reality in your life. Hallelujah. Because he's the one who's bringing everything that I say into reality in my life. Who? That's the Holy Spirit. I tell you, he's the most important person in the earth today. And the reason why, boy, we can rejoice and be glad that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us because Jesus Christ came and did what he did. Hallelujah. All the things that he did in his coming was for that one reason right there. So that, boy, the Holy Spirit can once again come dwell on the inside of every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Why is that so important, Arthur? Because that's the power of God. That's the ability of God. That's the only one that can lead and guide you into the reality. That's the one who brings everything into reality. That's the one that's at work in the earth, in the hearts of mankind, the children of God, right now. He don't want to do it to work. He don't want to open blind eyes. He don't want to stop death here. He don't want to raise people from the dead. He don't want to enable Jesus Christ, man, to heal a broken hearted and to set at liberty all those who are bound and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He don't want it. Hallelujah. And everything that Jesus was doing, man, and preaching, man, and was doing, boy, was a means to that one end. What one end is that? To get the Holy Spirit back on the inside of you and I. That's the purpose of Calvary. Not just to save you, but to save you for a purpose. What purpose is that? So that the Holy Spirit, so that you can once again, man, be indwelled by the power and the life and the Almighty God Himself. That's the Holy Spirit. Wow. So that you might be led by the Spirit. And the Bible says this here, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the natural man, but after the Spirit. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has set you and I free from the law of sin and death. But what the law could not do through the weakness of mankind, God sent forth His Son, made in the likeness of mankind, made under the law. And guess what He did? He didn't condemn sin. He didn't condemn us. He declared the sin that's in our lives not suitable for use against us. He declared that the sin that's in our lives can't stop us, man, from overcoming, man, everything that comes for us to go over, man. He condemned sin. The word condemn means to declare not suitable for use. Instead of us, Him declaring us not suitable for use because of our sins, He declared the sin not suitable for use against us. He didn't condemn us. He condemned the sin that's in our lives. He said, hey, listen, boy, even though they sin like scarlet, I wash them white as snow. He said, I remember their sins no more. I put them in the sea of forgiveness. Why? So that we don't have to worry about sin. If you sin, everything forgiven. Yeah, but man, that ain't no license to sin. That's a license for you to live right, glory to God. And boy, when you know that in the love of God, then you won't want to sin. When you know everything that God has in store for you and everything that God has really done for you and that it is a gift from God, man, let me tell you something, you will grow in love with God. When you come to realize that you have an inheritance, glory to God, and your inheritance is all of the kingdom of heaven. When you realize that that's your inheritance, you'll stop trying to seek something that's already yours. Let me tell you something, boy. The Bible says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And all these things that God has said about us, the only way that we can appropriate that in our lives here on earth as it is in heaven, hallelujah, glory to God. The only way to appropriate that in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven, I'm going to say it one more time. The only way to appropriate all the things that Jesus Christ said about us so they might be in our lives here or always as it is in heaven, man, is by the power of that one person that's in the earth today. That's the Holy Ghost. And guess what? That's who you have on the inside of you as a believer. That's who you have on the inside of you. You have the mighty working power of the Most High God. How much power do you think God has? How much power do you think that's in God? All that power that God has, and all that power that God is, and all that power that lives in God, hey, listen, boy, that's the same power that God placed on the inside of you and I in Adam. And when Adam lost it, and the whole human race lost it. And when Jesus Christ came in and did a disobeying God's law, obeyed all of His laws, and man, the righteous demands of a just God was met, the penalty for sin was paid in full. Mankind has once again become a clean vessel now. Now, boy, the power of the Most High God, hallelujah, that was at one time living among men, can now once again, boy, take up residence on the inside of mankind, on the inside of these physical bodies, on the inside of this flesh, hallelujah, in the person of mankind's spirit. But then, can you imagine, man, God living in your life, God living in your spirit, God living in you. That's why Jesus said, boy, hey, you seen me, you seen the Father. I couldn't do the work of the one who sent me, the Father. What you see me do, that's what the Father doing. The way you see me act, that's how the Father act. The way you see me talk, that's how the Father talk. Thing you see me do, that's what the Father do. I and my Father are one. And know what the gospel he preached about there? He said, so are you. As I am, so are you. I'm going to say that again. As I am, that's what Jesus said. As I am, so are you. Every last one of you out there listening to my voice, you're just like him. And if you don't realize that and come to the body of that, man, listen, you'll live far below your rights in prison. We see something that Jesus did and we think that we can't do it. We say, well, yeah, but that was Jesus. And that's the Son of the Most High God. Who do you think you are? You're the Son of the Most High God, too. Just like Jesus. The only difference is Jesus was the first. Hallelujah. He was the original plate. And everything man that God made after that man for his mankind was saying derived from that template, from that plate. From who? From Jesus. To be just like Jesus, who was expressed in the image of the Father. The Bible said another place, boy, Jesus was with God, boy, in the person of the Word. Boy, I'm talking about from the beginning. Glory to God. From the very beginning. He's the firstborn. He's the first thing that all springs from God, boy, the Word. And the Bible said in John, boy, the Word came to us, and some didn't receive it, but as many as received it, he gave them power to become the Son of God. And later on in verse 14, he said, and the Word became flesh. That's a man. And dwelt among us. What shall we call his name? He shall call his name Emmanuel. What that is, that's God in man. Who Jesus was? That was God in a man. What God, what the place was that? So God wanna do the same thing in you. God in a man. God in a woman. Just like it was God in Christ that doeth the work. The same thing with us. It's God in us. That's why Colossians said, boy, I'll tell you, I'll show you a mystery that's been hidden from ages and ages, but it's now being revealed and manifested to his children. What's that mystery? That's God in us. That's Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. What are the Christ in you? The Holy Spirit of the Most High God living on the inside of you. The devil don't never want us to find out that and learn things like this here. Why? You don't mind us having church and feeling a little something and getting all emotions stirred up and everything. As long as you don't know nothing. As long as you don't learn nothing. As long as you don't come to the knowledge and understanding of who you really are, where you really come from, why you really here, what you really can do, and where you're really going to end up at. As long as you don't know the answer to those age-old questions, what? Who are you? Who are you really? Hallelujah. Where you come from? That's your origin. Hallelujah. What you can do? That's your purpose. Why you're here? That's your purpose. What you can do? That's your potential. Where you gonna end up at? In heaven on earth. In heaven where? In heaven on earth. That's where you gonna end up at. Not in heaven in his territory up there in the unseen realm. You're going to live the way God originally designed for you to live, what? In heaven on earth. That's what he placed Adam and Eve in. They call it the Garden of Eden. But what that was, a little atmosphere and environment on the spot, on the earth, hallelujah, with an open door into the literal presence of the Most High God. What was Eden? Adam was in the presence of the Most High God, and the presence of God was in him. God was in man, and man was in God. That's what Eden is. Hallelujah. Heaven on earth. And what the assignment was? Be fruitful and make the whole earth just like this little garden. Make the whole earth, boy, have an atmosphere and environment just like this spot on the earth that I place you in. Why? So it might be in your lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. How you going to accomplish that, Father? I'm going to put my spirit on the inside of your spirit. And boy, he's the one, man. Just like my spirit was hovering over the deep and I said, let there be light. And when I said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit took my word and created light. And light been being ever since then. Before then, it was nothing but darkness, the Bible said, on the face of the deep. And the earth was void and without shape. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved out on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. What happened, boy? The earth was void and without shape and darkness. What's the next thing that took place? The Spirit of the Lord moved on the scene. What's the next thing that took place? And God spoke, glory to God. Well, he spoke a word. And what happened? The Spirit of the Lord that was hovering over the place, man, took the word that God spoke and brought it into existence. That's the same spirit living on the inside of us, waiting for us to come to the knowledge of how much power we have when, boy, we speak the word of God into our lives. Hallelujah. When we, like I say, boy, when we begin to say what God say about us and begin to meditate in it day and night so then we can act upon it. And then acting upon it, boy, that's the Holy Spirit enabling us, boy, to manifest it in our lives here on earth. That's Christmas. Boy, that's Merry Christmas. That's the greatest gift, man, of all. What is that? That's the gift, man, of the Holy Spirit. That's the gift of eternal life. That's the free gift of salvation. That's the free gift of all of the kingdom of heaven that was ours before the foundation of the world, that we lost in Adam, but has been restored back to us in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And boy, in this day and time that we're living in, God is elevating the body of Christ and the church with quality knowledge. Hallelujah. Not just knowledge. Let me say that a different way. See, there's knowledge and there's quality knowledge. Let me say that in a different way. There's knowledge that we derive from our five sense reasoning, and there's knowledge that's called revelation knowledge that's revealed to us, boy, by the Holy Spirit. That knowledge that's revealed to us by our teachers and our, and then there's knowledge that's revealed to us, boy, by the Holy Spirit. That's revelation knowledge. That's quality knowledge. Hallelujah. That's quality knowledge. And that's what God, the greatest desire, boy, is to be filled not with just sense knowledge, but with quality knowledge, revelation knowledge. Why? So that you might know the truth. And the truth that you know will set you free, man, in every area, boy, that truth is revealed to you. It'll set you free from the false of that truth. It'll set you free from that. Why? So that you can live in the reality of that truth. Father, what are you saying to us in these Christmas holidays, man, Christmas a few days or not? Listen, man, you're getting all kind of gifts and everything else, man. And my greatest desire for you to do it, you know, is don't leave the most important gift under the tree. Year after year after year, you know, during this season right here, we buy gifts for one another, man, and gifts to our loved ones and family and friends. And just, man, I'm talking about spread the joy, the gift, the season for giving. And, boy, I'm talking about when we get them gifts, man, for one another, boy, I'm talking about we can't wait to open them up. Especially their children. Hallelujah. They can't wait to open up their gift and see what's in it. And I'm talking about they don't leave it under no tree. Boy, I'm talking about sometimes they can't even wait till Christmas. Boy, they start opening them up, man, a day before Christmas, a Christmas night. Why? Because they can't wait to see what's up under that tree for them. And, boy, let me tell you something. You don't leave it under there. You open that. You take that gift from under that tree and you open it up. I wonder how many of us, boy, leaving the gifts of God, the gift that God gave us, man, for Christmas. What did that gift it there? That's eternal life. That's all of the kingdom of heaven. That's salvation. That's righteousness. That's peace. That's joy in the Holy Spirit. That's sovereignty. That's dominion. That's raw power. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's more than Garden of Eden, man. All those gifts. That's just some of them. Hallelujah. That God put under the tree for all his children. I wonder, man, if you and your children, man, when you get all your other natural gifts, do you also get the gift of salvation? That's for you and your whole house. That gift is under the tree, too. I wonder if you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God, the ability of God, the might of God. Do you leave that gift under the tree? But be preoccupied with just the physical and natural gifts? But leave all those spiritual gifts under the tree. Year after year after year. Hallelujah. The gift of eternal life. The Bible says this, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's a gift from God. As many as receive the free gift of righteousness, Romans chapter 5, shall reign in life. What? The free gift of righteousness. What he said in Ephesians? The salvation is a gift from God. The penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's a gift. Eternal life. The righteousness of God, that through that you reign in life, that's a gift from God. The grace and the faith to bring salvation to your life, that's a gift from God. To bring salvation to your loved ones, that's a gift from God. The Holy Spirit, as you have received the unspeakable gift, or the gift of the Holy Spirit, all those are gifts from God. And what my greatest desire is for you, man, to don't leave those gifts under the tree, but open up those gifts too. Just like you open up the natural gifts and use them that we give to one another, then do the same thing, man, with the gift of God. Open up that box, man, with your righteousness in it. And just partake of all the righteousness that you have in Christ Jesus. Just open up that gift, man, of grace and mercy and salvation. Hallelujah. That's a gift from God. It's a gift. Listen, your salvation is a gift from God. Ain't nothing you did to earn that. That's a gift from God. I told you the Bible says, for by grace are you saved, through faith. And that's not of yourself. That's a gift from God. What? The grace and the faith. The Bible says in Romans, man, chapter 12, it says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everybody got the same faith. Some faith a little bit more developed than others by reason of use, but everybody got the same amount of faith, the same kind of faith. That's a gift from God. All you got to do is develop it. Hallelujah. And the more you act on the word of God, the more you apply that word of God to your life, to what you're doing, you're developing your faith. And you're going from, man, just a little weak faith to strong faith. What's the gift from God? The Bible says in Romans, I'll say it again, Romans chapter 15, as we prepare to close this broadcast. Hey, listen, he said in Romans chapter 15, as you have received the free gift of righteousness, shall reign in life. How you reign in life? By more by realizing, man, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What's the righteousness of God? You are as righteous, man, as you are ever going to be. You got the same righteousness that Jesus Christ has. You got the same righteousness, man, that Almighty God has. And that's a gift from God. Hallelujah. Did you get that gift from under the tree? Are you still feeling unworthy and unrighteous and I'm poor, I'm a sinner, you know, just saved by grace? Let me tell you something. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's a gift from God. Your eternal destination of heaven on earth, that's a gift from God. All of the kingdom of heaven, everything it consists of, all its attributes, its nature, its character, its environment, all that it possesses, and all that it consists of, that's a gift from God. That was yours before the foundation of the world. The Bible says, here's come you who are blessed of your Father. That's in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. And receive your inheritance. What? The kingdom of heaven. Watch this. That was prepared for you. That was what? That was prepared for you. When? Before the foundation of the world. And what do you say? Come get your free gift, what? Of the kingdom of heaven. That's a gift from God. All those are gifts from God. Nothing you do to earn that. That's the love of God, boy, that he has for all his children, mankind. And boy, on Christmas, man, what he did, boy, was put that gift, all those gifts, in the gift. The gift, boy, that he sent for Christmas, man, to us was Jesus Christ. But there are gifts in that gift. Everything that Jesus Christ consisted of, all the power that he consisted of, the lifestyle that he consisted of, the character that he consisted of, the nature that he consists of, man, all the attributes that he consists of, the power, the holy, everything that he consists of, all the things that's in Christ, boy, all the gifts that's in Christ, hallelujah, is the same gift, boy, that you have. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Listen, don't break God's heart this season. It's Christmas season. Go past, man, celebrate, man, Jesus and his coming, and get to the place, man, of what he came for. And that's to restore your life to God's original intent, plan, purpose, and destiny that he originally planned for your life. Get there. That's a gift from God. Don't leave that under the tree. All those other gifts gonna fade away. All those other gifts, man, are going to fade away. I'm going to say it again. If you get a brand new car, man, for a gift like the wild man, this and 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 years, however long it takes, man, it's going to fade away. All the watches and gifts and clothes and everything that we get, that's going to fade away. But the gifts of God, those spiritual gifts, they're eternal. You're eternally righteous. You are eternally saved by grace. You are eternally, man, filled with the Holy Spirit, man, of promise. You are eternally got Christ on the inside of you. He ain't never going to leave you. He ain't never going to forsake you. All those gifts are eternal. The other gifts are temporary and going to fade away. But the word of the Lord, it's going to abide forever, holy God. And boy, God's greatest desire for you, boy, is, man, don't just celebrate Christmas in the fleshy realm, but celebrate Christmas in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. What? The gifts of God that he has for you. I told you, you're the reason for the season. You're the reason why God sent Jesus Christ. If we never would have been lost, never would have been saved, never would have been in bondage, never would have been, man, bound by sickness and disease, if we never would have been separated from God, then there would have been no need for Jesus Christ to come to this earth. But because we was dead in trespasses and sin, because we was separated from God, and because we was put out of Garden of Eden, because we the Holy Spirit did leave us, hallelujah. And God, boy, loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, who was perfect, hallelujah, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So, y'all, let's just not celebrate Christmas in the realm of the flesh and in this natural realm. But let's celebrate it, man, in the trueness of his original purpose, man. And that's to redeem our lives from the destruction that Adam disobedience sold us into. And, man, make us once again candidates for the Holy Spirit to come dwell on the inside of us. That's it. That's what Christmas is all about. Hallelujah. That's what this season is all about. The saving of God's people and the restoration, man, of God's people. The save us from everything that we need saving from and to restore back to us everything that we lost. Don't just get preoccupied with what we saved from. But boy, go and get them gifts from under the tree. What's the gift from under the tree? What we saved to. What we saved from? We saved from the bondage of Satan and the devil himself. What we saved to? All of the kingdom of God and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's what we saved to. What we saved to? Unrighteousness. What we saved from? The unrighteous acts and the unrighteous living. What we saved to? To righteous and righteous living and righteous being. What we save from? We save from the bondage, man, of Satan and all his demons, whole cause. What we save to? We save, man, to become, man, the children of the Most High God, operating in all the power of the might of the Most High God, just like Jesus did. That's what Christmas is all about, to restore you. You're the reason he came to this earth. You're the reason he hung, bled, and died. You're the reason God raised him from the dead. And I say this, and we'll close. The last act that Jesus Christ did, the first act and the last act that Jesus Christ did after his resurrection, he met with his disciples. And then the first thing he told them, fear not, why, it is I. And then the Bible says he told them to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 20, the Bible says he came, and he placed his hand upon them, and he breathed upon them. And he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And he went up to heaven. What was his last act? To let mankind know that which separated you from God, that which separated you from all your authority, your sovereignty, your dominion, your power, your righteousness, your peace, all that separated you from that, glory to God, hey, it's taken care of. So you can come on back, man, to God's original plan and purpose and destiny for your life and live your life from there. Already saved, already blessed, already healed, already delivered, already the righteousness of God. Those are the gifts of God. Listen, my wife, Gil, and I, we love y'all with the love of the Lord. And we say unto y'all, happy holy days and merry, merry Christmas to you all. And that you and your family get all your spiritual gifts. If you go out to me under the tree, too, don't leave them there. Unwrap them, man, and play with your gift of salvation, your gift of righteousness, your gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Gil and I, we love you. If we could be of any help to you and growing you up in the kingdom of God, because that's our assignment. You can contact us at area code 713-870-3776 at Kingdom Life Fellowship Outreach Ministry in Bunker, Louisiana. God bless you. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Bye-bye.
We at Kingdom Life Fellowship would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3776. Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeBain. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. So we